You can hear the music, which you know means it is time for another episode of BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance, episode number 109. And I am your host, Joey, terribly teaching Twitterers torturously D's. Dang it, I was so close. I saw tort and thought of tortilla.
I'm hungry now.
Now I'm hungry.
Dang it. Well, of course, Sean Everson of Think 12 Games wins again.
Oh, hey.
And, of course, Josh Utley from the Omega Gamers.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing great. And Vicky Barcelona running the boards.
Hi.
On today's episode, we are going to talk Dice Fest with Flying Frog. We're going to tell you some interesting board game statistics that might shock you, and we'll have a little tutorial on how to teach someone a board game. But, Josh, how can the Geek Nationals get a hold of us?
Go to bjgeeknation.com and get all the podcasts, blogs, interviews, videos, links, and more. Also, search for us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, or just go to odyssey.com. AudacyCy.
Odyssey. Well, after screwing up my name, I'm hungry, and I like tortillas, generally with cheese. I like to call them a quesadilla.
Ironically, tortiously means wrong, so you messed up.
On the word.
On the word.
That means messed up.
Yes.
I'm going to say you didn't plan that, but I know you did, John. I know you did. Well, guys, we have an event coming up with a lovely board game company that we've actually had the pleasure of going to their studio and playing some games. Flying Frog, putting on Dice Fest 2022, is back, baby.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this. We've gone to Dice Fest before and shown some video footage. This is a brand new event, so if you've gone to Dice Fest before, you haven't gone to Dice Fest now.
Oh, so what you're saying is it's fancy.
Oh, yes. They've poured a lot of money into this, where before it was a 2-day event, and people would leave in the middle of it, or, you know, like, towards the end, they have to, like, leave the building because they were having it, I think it was at a high school up in the Snohomish area, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is at the Bellevue Hilton.
Fancy.
And it's a 3-day event. It's October 14th, 15th, and the 16th. Now, before, where you had to leave, you're at a hotel, so you can just stay. So they have planned events that they're putting together, and those events are eventually going to, you know, end around midnight or so. But you can keep gaming all through night.
Plus, there's no school on Monday.
There is no school on Monday. That's very correct.
At the hotel, there is school that Monday.
Oh, Josh!
For those of you trying to loophole your parents.
You got everyone's hopes up.
So I happened to talk to them at an event recently, and they were talking about how there's going to be some really cool stuff that people haven't seen or done with them before. You're really going to want to check this out. It's going to be a big blast. They know they're putting on a bigger event, and they're hoping to get a whole lot more people. So you got to have stuff to do, and they are definitely putting plans together to have lots of stuff for you to do.
And I love the idea of not having a time restriction, because as we talked about in our last episode, you never know how long a game is going to take.
Exactly.
So when it gets to 11 p.m. and you're looking, you're like, we're not even close to scoring half the victory points we need to win this game. I like the ability to just go late into the night.
Yes. So they have things that people are putting up games right now that you can, you know, book into if you want to be a part of them. There's going to be spontaneous things. They have a library of games you can check out. Other stuff that I won't spoil for people. We'll let them, you know, leak out information as they want about that.
Are you saying more?
Oh, there's definitely going to be more. And more. I'm super... There's still things that even I don't know about yet. They're like, oh, you'll see when you get there, because I'm definitely going, baby.
Ooh, the ever-popular paint and take.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have the paint and take. They put on classes. Like, there's so much cool stuff that they're going to have for people to do. You definitely want to check this out. If you just look up, if you Google Dice Fest, you'll get a location for it to check things out. So, yeah.
And if you've never been to a con or a fest, because I know there are a lot of people that haven't, you know, it's one of those things that sometimes it's hard for people to get into, or they think maybe the money's not worth it, or, you know, there's a lot of reasons why you may be a little hesitant, if you might say. If you've never seen a games library before, it is a heaven. Like, yes. you for whatever reason, you can never imagine how many games they will literally have. And I mean, trust me, it's worth the price of admission.
Yeah, for sure. You'll have a whole big blast go to this. And you'll also get special, like, free stuff. Anybody that has your pass, they give you a lot of free goodies, free promos. So, like, not only getting this really fun experience, but you get a lot of just free cool stuff.
And you don't need to know people to go down there. I mean, that's that's the one thing that really, you know, caught me by surprise is the wrong way to put it, but was very warm and welcoming, is the idea that people will just invite you to be the third or the fourth in their board game as you walk by.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you'll be able to just like jump into, like, people are starting up a game, like, hey, can I be a part of that? Sure, yeah, come on in, and you know, and you're off and running.
And you don't have to know how to play them either. They'll teach you.
You don't even know how to play.
And now, some people that might be there will know how to play. Sean, Josh, you know, stand up there.
Don't look for me if you want to know how to play anything.
He will stab you in the back. But that is, again, Dice Fest. Go to Dice Fest. You can just actually Googling it's probably
Google
easier.
Google Dice Fest, and you'll get the links for it.
Yes, Dice Fest 2022. Of course, Friday the 14th through the Friday, October 14th through the 16th. Make sure to check that out. But moving along from that, Josh, you found some interesting statistics about the board game community and everything they do.
Well, yeah. Some of it was kind of interested by, I wonder how the pandemic treated everything.
Because of the delays in shipping, and then, of course, the big switch to online buying, really.
Well, it seems that growth happened during the pandemic.
Growth, you said?
What?
People were indoors and wanted to play board games. I am shocked.
Yes. just in 2021, how much do you think they made?
$1.
No, Bob.
Ah, damn. So you're saying over.
Yeah, just in 2021, $12.1 billion worldwide.
With a B. Yes. Billion dollars.
Oh, sorry. And that was a steady growth from about $1 billion a year since 2019.
That's incredible.
In the worldwide numbers.
Of course, yeah. This is not just the U.S. of A. It turns out that everyone loves board games, and we get a lot of great Euro games. I remember losing in many of them.
So having read through this, they attribute it to online shopping and actually digital board games, I guess they're counting. Now, but at least from this article, I don't know that they look enough at the niche board gaming, the cons and stuff that we go to. Because I know that's a big contributor in Kickstarter and GameFound and BackerKit and all those things.
But $12.1
billion. Yeah, and they're expecting to increase by another $2.5 billion by 2025.
That is wild, because like I get the idea. I mean, well, so board games, like you said, were mostly, hand in your hand. You can buy them at a store. Maybe you can buy them online, but I would never imagine $2.1 additional billion dollars in that short amount of time coming from just the ability to buy them on your phone or to, you know, find them anywhere really now, as opposed to just a game store or, you know.
Well, it's hard to argue with, you know, cons didn't have much to do with it in the last 2 years because cons have been gone.
Yeah. You know,
there is digital versions of them, but it's not the same when it comes to board games.
I can't yell at you digitally. I mean, I could.
I think the digital impact actually did help a lot because for people that wanted to play, they wanted to play something with their friends. So, well, we can play this board game, but we can do it online. You know, we can't meet in person. So let's meet up over Tabletop Simulator or Board Game Arena or the people have been putting stuff on Steam now. So there's digital versions like Root you can get on Steam.
And it's easy to connect with your friends on Discord and even just host a screen to play one of the board games because you really don't, I mean, as much as I love to touch meeples, you don't actually need to control them yourselves. You can have one game master kind of do it in a similar way that D&D does it.
Yeah.
Another interesting fact that I found a little counterintuitive was that younger generations of Americans found board games to be more enjoyable than older ones. They're talking Gen Zers.
Hmm.
In the survey, 82% of the Gen Zers, that's 9 to 24 years old, found it more enjoyable.
I'm wondering if it's because we're getting a resurgence of liking what is old and making it new again. Like the whole idea of even D&D with the help of Stranger Things and stuff like that, that has kind of brought it back into the light. And a lot of people that probably would have never touched it are now really into it. And like I feel like games like Catan have really served to like make it easy to get into board gaming, but it's not the board gaming we knew as kids.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. It just seems so like, I'm like Gen X, so right now, I guess we're sitting at 78%. But still, even 67% of the silent generation, that's pre-baby boomer. That's older than BJ.
Wow, that is old.
Time itself.
I love that 67% of people in that generation are playing board games.
I wonder if it's a big push to get off of screens, and that's why as well. Like, a board game is a great way to interact with people outside of staring at your computers, you know, and getting into involved with people and getting everyone in one room. I like that idea of, you know, community through board games.
Yeah, you just, you do just tend to think kids are just going to play video games. They're just going to be on their screens.
Yeah.
But the fact that this is bucking that trend, I like that. Anything that grows board gaming.
That and kids are competitive, so if they can win something, they're going to try.
My teenagers are not constantly competing with each other, no matter what I say or do.
Or no, not even like toddlers. I have a three-year-old brother who likes to do this thing where he'll run up the stairs, and if you're going up the stairs too, he's like, wait for me, and then push past you. I win! And then if you win at something, he's like, it wasn't a race. I'm like, are you the sass? So I don't think that hurts.
There's a psychology element to it as well. If you think about it, like, if you play a lot of games online, it's a different interaction than when you're spending time in person with another, with someone else, right? We are social creatures, and we really thrive from having other people around us to interact with. We actually get something from that emotionally and psychologically. And board games give you that opportunity to, you know, do something cooperative together or do something competitive together where you get to kind of, you know, mess with each other or whatever. And the way that that helps us in a positive way, you don't really get that when you're playing online.
Yeah, I agree. I think those in-person experiences are better shared when you're actually in person. You know, that kind of idea where you do get to kind of see the facial expressions of people better, and there's those like kind of conversations and arguments almost, but they're playful as opposed to when I'm in Call of Duty yelling at people for killing me. Stop it!
Yes, that's what I hear screamed from the teenager's room. A nice, calm, controlled stop it, not language that they're going to be off their games for a while for.
I thought I'd spare Vicky the bleepings.
Yeah,
bleep, bleep, bleep,
blink, 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 blink.
So what we're saying is that board games are doing well right now. What else do you got for us, Josh?
Well, another one I find that I had to hunt for where what my percentage was here. So the big news is 50% of players own between 1 and 25 board games.
1 in 25 is quite the range. I followed that category.
Oh, but those sweet summer children.
But what's weird is where the drop-offs are. And 22% have between 26 and 50.
Wow, that's actually much higher than I thought it would be.
Me and Sean, we're in the 10.9% that own more than 100. But the weird drop-off is only 4.2 have between 51 and 75.
Oh,
and that
I see.
Is an oddly specific number.
Yeah, that is weird.
So they're polarized. Once you hit over like a certain amount, you know, you're in that group. So that's where everyone falls.
I don't know if I'm happy or sad that they stopped counting at more than 100.
Yeah, see, 100?
Child's play.
Child numbers.
That leads into another shocking stat where certain number of people spend over $1,000 a year on board games. Hey, Sean, we are the 22%.
Woo! Finally! Vicky does not look shocked at all over there.
It's just me and my house, so I haven't really bought any games that weren't like drinking games.
We can teach you.
to spend money?
I'm
okay. Not secretly trying to have another place to store board games, that being Vicky's house.
Yeah, I have a lot of crap and a lot of board games.
Vicky does have a garage.
That's true.
Yeah, that has a lot of crap in it. Which actually does have a whole box of board games in there, may or may not.
So I guess we may be in another statistic level of that. I'm going to go with I'm a one percenter, and I'm just unsure of what my spending is.
I don't want to know.
Exactly. One stat I found very promising. Of those polled, over 88% of the players purchased their games from their local game store, not Amazon.
That's awesome. Shout out to Zulus and all those other lovely places around us. Flying Frog we talked about earlier. That is a very, very promising stat. I agree, Josh. I mean, just knowing that people are going locally to spend money in places that promote their favorite games. And I mean, do you have a better time than on a Friday night when you're with your friends hanging out with a place within a big tavern-esque thing with a big wood plank in front of you full of meeples, ordering macaroni and cheese and Josh's least favorite soup?
So how many do you think discover board games through word of mouth?
Ooh, like a new board game? Well, if it's, I mean, for us, it's, I'm going to say 95% of mine. Right?
It's 71%.
Okay. Wow, okay, yeah.
Which I think that's kind of, I think that's high, but I love it.
Yeah.
Well, makes sense, because like if you, maybe not even necessarily word of mouth, but like, hey, we're playing a game, let's try this one, and then you go out and buy it. A game that your friend already has.
Josh just gets me by going, hey, you like war elephants? I do like
elephants. Joey's like, take my money.
It's Aladdin. See John and Aladdin.
That may be how I know Joey will show up to that game day. There's a war elephant.
If you could get a spaceship looking like a war elephant, oh man.
So the pandemic obviously had some pretty drastic effects on board gaming. Between February and March of 2020, when it all started, Google's search for board games increased 82%.
Jeez, wow. People were really straight went to board games. That's interesting.
Yeah, I love it, though.
Yeah, well, I guess if you're thinking about entertaining things you can do at your house that don't have a screen involved in them, board games is the first thing that comes to my mind. I mean, outside of, like, a basketball, you know?
True. So, what do you think was the highest singly searched for board game in 2020?
Okay, what was...
In March of 2020.
Oh, that's tough. I'm going with... Star Wars Monopoly.
No.
Catan?
No.
Scythe?
No. It was Pandemic.
Oh. Okay.
Right. I'm sure it was, I think it was searched to see if something were to happen with it, like if they were going to recall it or change it up, or I don't know. I'm wondering if that's part of the search or if they actually bought it.
There was 246,000 searches just in March of 2024, Pandemic the board game. And then Risk followed at 90,000.
Hmm. I'm sensing a theme.
Then Monopoly at 60,000.
Yeah, third place.
And then Jumanji.
Jumanji?
Okay, that's
wow, that was out of nowhere.
What year did Jumanji come out? The Rock Jumanji came out. Though. That may play into looking for the board
game. That is a great question. Oh, there's two of them?
Yep. Yes.
Oh, my God. Of course, it gives me technically, it's the second Jumanji movie. There's three of them because the first one, of course, with Robin Williams.
Yes.
2019.
There you go.
Okay.
That can make sense.
Yeah.
And then it goes into Life, Sorry, Ticket to Ride, and Ludo. Oh,
Ticket to Ride.
That's interesting, huh? Josh, one more statistic that shocked you from this lovely list.
Oh, that shocked me. Hmm.
You know, because...
Okay, 43% of board game enthusiasts pay several times a week.
Jeez, I couldn't imagine.
That number seems low.
That does seem low.
Yeah, you know, 43%, that's like not even close to what I would imagine. I mean, based off of our podcast, I'd say 100%.
Ah, here's the stat we were looking for. 6% of board game enthusiasts play daily.
Only 6%. Although I guess we have day jobs.
Daily's tough.
Yeah. So daily is kind of tough. Well, that's awesome. I mean, that's a lot of interesting stuff, though. Glad to hear that the board game industry seems to be killing it post-pandemic.
I'm very happy with that.
I think that means we're going to get a lot more Kickstarters in our future, huh?
Probably.
Hopefully.
Yes.
If you look at my current Kickstarters, then yes.
Well, moving on from that, one of the hardest things to do in the board gaming world is to learn rules. Hmm. And one way to learn rules is to get taught those rules by someone who's already played the game. And one way to screw up playing a game is to be taught the rules wrong, like it always happens to me.
So the
beach, right?
We could go through all these points, or I can just cut to the chase and say, in order to learn a board game, don't let Sean teach you.
Yes, all right. Sean.
Simple.
We're kicking you out.
I can't even argue, so.
Sean can teach us about the currencies.
Yes.
Sean can do a very good job when he very well knows the game. But sometimes Sean makes up whole pages of rules that aren't in a game.
How did it get in my head?
All right, guys, now you're not supposed to attack everyone, but there is this rule, see, on page 5, which doesn't exist, that says you must attack every turn.
Yeah, I did once. We were playing a board game, and he came up with this whole discard thing that was very counterintuitive, and we were all confused, and like, okay, I guess. And I'm looking through the rule book, and they said, well, there was nothing in the rule book about it, so it's just, that's how it is. It makes the most sense. And I'm like, okay. Sean, there's a paragraph here that says discard pile. And it's really simple.
Yeah, I read that part. I put a little creative flair on it.
Hey, teaching games is hard.
It is hard. It is.
Now, some of these things are kind of obvious. I don't know about pick the right group for the game. I was like, what? Pick the right game for the group. Yes, you got to know who's coming over. We talked about this before. If we're going to play Anachrony or TI4, I'm not going to force Vicky to sit through that.
No.
Because she will murder us.
Yes.
I mean, I would murder you for less, but yeah.
And I think Sean knows that if he's just going to play trick-taking games, that Josh is going to sit out that day.
Yes.
I remember we played at the last convention we were at. Sean picked out a game, and it was a mathy kind of game betting, almost, like voting on betting, auctioneer-style game. Mm-hmm. And he said, Joey, you're going to love this game. And I did love the game. And he said, BJ, you're going to hate this game. And BJ hated the game. And then I started thinking, what a nice guy. I love Sean. He invites me to a game I'm going to love, and I get to beat my dad. So you definitely do need to know your group, because BJ did hate it. And we knew immediately, and we were open about it. But he still played the game like a trooper.
Yeah, him and anything with spatial elements.
Oh, yeah.
He really...
Not like, space itself, but their elements.
We talked about that crowdfunding game with the...
Pueblo with
the blocks and the spinning board. I want BJ to play it, because then I'm going to sit back and watch him malfunction. But other than that, I don't know if that'll be a game for him.
That would absolutely not be a game for him.
Next is learn the rules before you try to teach the game. I feel that one's kind of obvious.
Who does that?
Have you ever had someone sit down with a board game, open it up, and be like, all right, guys, who's ready to learn? And we're like, yeah, so have you played? And then they just hand you the rule book, and you're like, this is a freaking mountain of text.
So Josh and I will do that sometimes. We'll get together, and he's like, we're going to cold learn this game. And so we're literally pulling the wrap off the game and punching it, and he's going through rules. And
to be fair, we know about it when we do that.
Yes, we don't spring that on each other. It's like, hey, by the way, guess what?
And we don't do that to a larger group. We're not going to bring over 3 other people and me and Sean, by the way, we're learning this cold. You guys sit there.
You're not bringing out a fully wrapped game and then thud. It's just on the table. So who wants to unwrap this with me and learn it?
Well, we work really good with each other in the sense that if Sean's teaching the game, he can prattle off whatever because he knows I'm not listening. Because I can't hear games taught to me out loud. I just need to play them. I need somebody to say, this is what you're doing in a turn, A, B, C, learn. Okay, that I can do. Trying to tell me the rules?
We're going to have a problem.
I'm off and distracted and talking about the Flash or whatever. And I know that if I'm trying to puzzle through a rule book, that I just look up, I wake Sean up, I tell him what we're doing now, because we actually tried to learn Thunderstone Quest at like 1 a.m. one night. And
of course, like all normal human beings.
Sean likes to micro-nap.
Is that 10, 15 minutes?
Well, it's like 1:30 at a con. Sure, yeah, I'll micro-nap.
That was Anachrony. But yeah, I mean, you got to know going in. Of course, you should read the rules first. This is a big one, though. The rule book is a reference for you, not a script. Yeah. Do not sit there and read the rule book to the table.
Oh, is that not good?
No, that's very bad.
Ah, boring, you might say.
That's how you get me to, you know, not pay attention.
I might read a paragraph to somebody because it's usually... I'm not processing that. Let me read it to you to see if you can figure it out, or will you read this? But yeah, clearly you don't read the rules out loud.
One of the things I've noticed is like if you're teaching a group at a table, watch the people that you're teaching. That's a very important aspect, because you can see if people are checking out or not. And you're like, okay, I need to speed this up. Like, okay, well, I've taught enough. Let's just start going through it, right? Because everybody's checked out. So they're no longer listening. I could just keep rattling on, but nobody's hearing anything I'm saying.
And on complicated games, you don't need to teach the whole game. You don't need to teach final scoring bonuses.
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, teaching a game is almost like storytelling, in the sense that if you're not captivating your audience in those first 10 minutes, then you've done something wrong. You know, you need to just go right into the game, and then, you know, as it continues, build upon the rules, as opposed to, as you were saying, just being like, how would you guys like to hear 30 straight minutes of text from this rule book?
And on the flip side, you got to be a good learner.
Yeah.
Listener.
That too. I'm a terrible listener, right? But I try. Okay, I will troll Sean and BJ, but that's just fun. That's just me. But I won't interrupt, and I won't ask. I will try not to ask 75 questions for stuff that has not been brought up, because I happen to notice it on the table.
Ah, I see.
You got to give them time to. Well, I'm going to get to that.
Yeah.
Be patient. We're going through a list. And, but yeah, you can't just be like, hey, what's that over there? Noticed this on my car. What do you have?
Hey, I see the super big cannon at the end of the game over there. How do I get that? Like, how many points do I need to buy that? It's like, well, you know, 400 and you have 3. So let's just pump the brakes.
Well, and when you get people that do that kind of stuff, you just go, hey, that's a really good question. We're going to get to that in a minute. And then continue forward.
Positive reinforcement. Although, look at that.
Although flipping the table is always fun.
It will end the game quicker.
But Sean and BJ and myself have a mission to troll each other during rules teaches.
And that only can help to the authenticity of the game.
Yes, right.
Well, I like asking BJ a question. He'll like say something, and I will just bring up something completely unrelated.
Yeah, exactly. Would the Federation really attack the Klingons right now?
Yes, stuff like that.
Yeah, we're playing Azteca or whatever. Actually, I think that's the Mexican restaurant. I still have tortillas on my mind, Sean.
I'm really hungry.
And BJ does the same to us, and it's fun and funny. But that's just us.
I see Josh doing it to me, and I just continue forward. Like, he'll prattle off something. Yeah. Okay, Josh is being Josh. I'm going to ignore it and continue.
If you guys listening, you guys and gals listen, have a fun thing in your game group that you're due, that something trolly like that, please let us know on our socials, because I would love to hear those little quirks that every group has.
Yes.
When in doubt, Google it. Or BGG it, at least.
Or YouTube it.
Or YouTube it. But yeah, the BGG forums, though, for games, the rules questions, we have many times found the answer there. We have one time found the answer was, do it either way. It works.
Ah, yes.
From a designer.
Yeah, it was frustrating.
That made me want to throw BJ out a higher window than the previous one.
I was going
to
say, there's no way that would have benefited at least one player. I want it this way. I want my gold.
Yeah, it was not a good day that day.
I do love that you can quick change things now, because that was always a pain back in the day before the internet, where you would run into something and be like, I don't know if I'm playing this wrong or if it's just dumb. Yeah. Hopefully we could solve this.
Well, plus, a lot of times when there are rule errors, like somebody taught something wrong or you just missed it because it's a complicated game, you also got to be willing to be like, okay, well, we've all played that way. So we can either continue to play that way, or we can just stop now. We all benefited, or we're all at a detriment to it. But let's just keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And you just take a vote, too. Usually your game groups are pretty agreeable on those things. Unless it's one of those ones where you broke the rules and someone is a light years ahead of everyone else. Right. We'll restart.
Yeah. In that case, you definitely. Well, we played. I was playing Messina, and on the B sides of the boards, there's some very powerful actions, but they're once per use per game. And you have to close them off. Well, the first time we played with those, I didn't catch that, and we were just all playing use that. Everybody was running away on these tracks. One player was way in the lead, and we're like, well, we're all going to get the benefit. We'll just keep playing like that, because she did use up. She couldn't possibly benefit anymore, but we could.
Oh, okay.
And actually, the scores did come back together.
A little retcon.
We were very close. So, yeah. Another big one, and I did have to learn this. Now I'm totally fine with it. Ask anybody. Be okay with losing, not just when teaching, but playing, but especially when teaching. You don't want to dominate the players when you're trying to let them have a good experience and have fun.
Yeah, if you can't do that, don't bother teaching.
Oh, exactly. Definitely. That, well, one of my favorite Magic the Gathering experiences is when you get handed the red deck and they have the white deck and the white deck has protection from the red deck.
Ugh.
And so you're like, well, this was a fun learning experience. I get to do nothing.
Well, Sean, you teach a lot because you're demoing your games and designing. Do you just steamroll everybody or?
No. In fact, if I'm playing with the group and it's kind of a demo session or whatever, I won't take the most advantageous, action, right? I may do something a little bit less, or I may target something. Like, I just want to see something. If I'm doing something really weird, I may call it out. Like, I'm going to try something different. I don't suggest doing what I'm doing because it's probably stupid. So keep doing whatever thing you're doing. But I want people to have, the best experience that they can have, right?
So I see. What you're saying is you shouldn't use grenades to propel yourself forward.
Exactly.
But in this instance, you're going to try to see how it works. Will one limb down be worth it?
Well, even in teaching, games that, I'm not personally, developing, I will try, since I know the different strategies, in teaching the game, I might try some, weird try just to see how it works. And kind of expect it to not be all that great, and let other people kind of go through the ones that seem like the most obvious to be successful, right? Because I'm not trying to win. I want to be competitive, so it's not just someone just running away like, oh, well, I guess that was fun.
Well, that kind of to another question. On Mars is a very heavy game, very complex game. But through repeat play, I learned to teach that game so well that I taught it 5-6 times at a con in a crowded, loud room. Joey, you played.
I did.
It is a AP game. You think a lot, but it's a fun game. But there's a game called Tabanusi. I can't figure out how to teach it.
Interesting.
It's so all over the map and everything bleeding into each other. So, Sean, do you have any games that you like, this one I can always teach, and this one I can't figure out if it's even a game?
Yeah, there's been a couple. I've opened the rulebook, and you kind of start going through it, and you're like, oh, my God, this is terrifying. I'm going to set this aside, maybe watch some YouTube videos, maybe try and do, a solo play or something. And others, I can just, they're my go-tos because they're super easy to teach, and I just kind of always remember them.
Plus, you kind of know when you're teaching a game to someone whether or not they're going to like it or be able to learn it. Because, if you're teaching someone a game, for instance, we taught BJ that math game, he would just lose his mind and not want to learn it anyway. So sometimes you just have to give up before you start. But these have been some awesome rules to help people learn. I know that learning games is not easy, and people generally get a little turned off by it because there are a lot of steps. But as I've learned with Sean and Josh, who are great teachers, you get the right people to teach you, and it can always be fun.
And if you're like me and you can't hear it and you want to troll a little bit, know who you're trolling. I'm not if Vicky's going to sit down and teach us a game, I'm not going to troll her through the rules. That would just be dumb, and she would not have a good time, and nobody else at the table would have a good time. But
I go get snacks.
She'd start up a drinking game with you on the side and get you hammered. Teach you to teach me, that's why.
Yeah. And just like Sean said, look around the room.
Yeah.
If people are checking out, change tactics.
Well, thank you, Geek Nationals, for joining us. Next week, we are going to be playing a game that you may know, Trial by Trolley. Make sure to tune in and check us out as we try not to get hit by trains. But until then, Josh.
Play nice.